In the reading that we heard tonight from the Acts of the Apostles, we were given a little snapshot of the early church. And it began with a line that is very familiar to us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That line is familiar to us because we repeat it as part of our renewal of baptismal vows each year in the Paschal Vigil, and also every time we celebrate a baptism or a membership rite. We say together, with God's help, we will continue in the community of faith, in the apostles' teaching, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. But what comes next in the Acts description is rather more radically strange, and it is intriguing, although probably not really any real surprise, that it has not been used in anything that Christians are asked to regularly pledge themselves to. Because the next line says, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. It sounds like an early experiment in radical socialism, and it probably was. And many have speculated that it disappeared off the Christian radar quite quickly because it didn't actually work very well for very long, but who knows? That's just speculation. I'm not wanting to try and make a case for or against recovery of this radical sharing practice tonight, but I do want to think a bit about what our aversion to that idea might mean. And as I've pondered that, I've noticed a link with the image of the Good Shepherd that was developed in our other readings. The image of the shepherd developed in the Bible is very different from an outback Australian sheep drover using a motorbike and barking dogs to drive a mob of sheep wherever he wants them to go. Albeit I might have sympathy with those particular breeds of dogs, given that I own a couple of them, but it's a very different image from the biblical image. This is partly because the varieties of sheep that are most common in the Middle East are a somewhat more intelligent beast than the Australian Merino, closer to goats than to the Merino that we're used to here. But even more importantly, the flocks were smaller, and there was a much more personal relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep didn't need to be driven. They would happily follow the shepherd around because they had learned to trust him, and they knew that their safety and their access to the best pasture depended on sticking with him. The image is actually closer to what we see in Australia with dairy cows, and that's why that version of the reading that we heard went that way. Dairy cows will follow the farmer around and respond to his voice. And so it is out of such a close, trusting relationship that the writer of the 23rd Psalm develops the familiar imagery of being led beside cool waters and lying down in green pastures. And Jesus develops his image of the Good Shepherd who calls his sheep by name and they know his voice and they follow him. But in the words that we heard from Jesus tonight, he begins to develop these ideas a bit further. Firstly, he contrasts himself as the shepherd with those who might try to force their way into the sheepfold to steal the sheep. Not everyone who attempts to get the attention of the sheep actually has the best interests of the sheep at heart. But then Jesus makes a small shift in his imagery, and he develops it in a direction that caught my attention as I thought of it alongside this idea of radical sharing. Instead of describing himself as the shepherd, he goes on to describe himself as the gate of the sheepfold. I am the gate for the sheep, he says. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Now, at first glance, it could be very easy to misunderstand this image. Because normally, if we describe someone as a gate or a gatekeeper, it's a quite restrictive image. The gate person is usually a controlling person who keeps us locked in and limits our freedom. They make sure that we don't get out and start running amok and doing our own thing. They want to keep control. But that doesn't seem to be at all how Jesus is using the image. I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Do you get that? Whoever enters by me will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. It actually seems to be an image of greater freedom. And he's contrasting it with the thieves and bandits who come to steal and misuse the sheep. Those who stick to Jesus will not only be safe when they're in the sheepfold, but they will come in and go out and find good pasture. Jesus is not limiting their freedom. He's becoming a reference point for their freedom. It is through him that they have access to the fullest available freedom. Those who look for some other way that doesn't involve regularly connecting with Jesus are the ones who are at risk of sabotaging their own freedom and finding themselves lost, stolen, hungry, or otherwise in danger. Those who take Jesus as their reference point, their way in and out, are free to come and go and are assured of finding the good pasture, the places of abundance, the places where all their needs are abundantly provided for. Now, what has any of that got to do with the radical sharing that was described of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles? Well, abundance and the ability to trust in that abundance are the main things that make such radical sharing possible. It's when we're anxious that resources might be scarce that we get possessive and we begin jealously guarding our own stash. As long as we think that everything is in limited supply, it's the quick and the dead, and we have to look after our own interests. We have to make sure that everything is always available to us, and that means making sure that others can't get their hands on it. It's mine, and I don't know when I might suddenly need it, so no, it's not available to you. This extends far beyond material possessions too. We can get jealous and acquisitive about all manner of things because our whole culture is built on a mindset of scarcity and possessiveness. So I can get jealous about another person's gifts or abilities because there's this strange lie in my head that says that such gifts and abilities are in short supply and that we have to compete for them. So that person's possession of them means that my chances of having worthwhile gifts and abilities are somehow compromised and diminished. Stupid, but it happens in our heads. I can get jealous of the high regard that another person is held in the community because the same lie in my head says that reputation and esteem are in short supply and the only way that I can rise in the estimation of those around me is at the expense of someone else. They must get less if I'm to get any more. And so jealousies and rivalries and resentments fester, and any possibility of embracing a lifestyle of generous sharing is diminished and dismissed as threatening and impossible. As long as we are seeing everyone as rivals, we are not even able to be truly gracious to them, let alone offer ourselves freely and generously to them. I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is telling us that this mindset of scarcity is actually based on a lie. Jesus promises abundance. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. We do not need to compete with one another for resources or possessions or attention or love or giftedness or reputation or acceptance. The economy of God is not an economy of scarcity, but of abundance. Overflowing, recklessly generous, above and beyond what anyone could ever need, abundance. There is nothing that you really need that is in limited supply. Love, grace, freedom, acceptance, hospitality, mercy, understanding, humor, peace. Nobody else's possession of these things threatens or limits your access to them. God pours them out in rich profusion, in outrageous abundance. If they seem scarce or limited to us, it's not because they are, but because we have been so conditioned to believing that everything is measured out in meager handfuls that we have to fight and scrap for. We've fallen for a lie. They say that if you stand a cow in a paddock when it can't see the fences, it will imagine them to be very close and complain about its lack of freedom. I don't know how they work that out with cows, but I've seen that same phenomenon in myself and in lots of people. But it is a lie. I am the gate for the shepherd. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. I came that they might have life. Life and have it abundantly. If we can trust Jesus and trust the abundance that he comes to bring us, then we will be set free from the resentments and rivalries and jealousies and possessiveness that would climb over the walls and bind us and enslave us and rob us of all joy and community and love. In a few minutes, we will come to this table, the table of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. And the fare on this table will not look abundant to the naked eye. Little shots of wine and one little loaf of bread to be divided between us. But this is the table of the same Lord who fed a crowd of thousands with a few small loaves and a couple of fish, and there were basketfuls left over. But the abundance of that feast was not seen in what was laid on the table at the start. The abundance only emerged in the sharing, in the giving away. Attempt to cling to it and own it and guard it, and it'll crumble in your hands. But in giving it away, in sharing it recklessly and heedlessly, the abundance is seen and enjoyed and shared around. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. God is extravagantly generous and extravagantly gracious. Open your hands. Let go of the scraps you've been clinging to and receive all the abundance of life that God longs to pour into your hands.